Good morning, everybody.
Now
that sounds good. Thank you very much. I'm really glad that you're here today. Hey, listen, I don't know if you watched our videos or not, but I told you that I'm going to be debuting a mask that I received from a wonderful family up in Wisconsin, the Dillmans. And she knows, and you know too, my affinity for bacon, right? You know how much I love bacon? Well, this is a bacon mask, all righty? You really probably can't tell it right now, but this is a bacon mask. And the writing here says, "What's shaking, bacon?" And so I've got two of these masks. And so if you would like one, the bidding begins at $500. Now, it doesn't smell like bacon, but it doesn't taste like bacon. But just know it's a bacon mask, all righty? And the bidding starts at $500 for my extra mask. And if you want to buy that mask, I'll donate the proceeds to our SOS ministry, all righty? Any takers? I guess not, okay? Anyway, how are you guys doing? How is everybody doing? Seriously, are you doing okay? Give me a praise. Give me a good thing that's happened during this pandemic thing to you in your life. What are some good things that's happened over this pandemic thing for you?
My husband got sick and he got well.
Ray had coronavirus. He did get really sick, but he's just fine. Okay, he's just fine. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anything else? Any other praises? Say what?
More family time.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Anybody else? Any other good things? Anybody? Huh?
Less work.
Less work. That's right. However, I've had to do a lot of honeydew lists at my house. Anybody else with me on that one? That's right. That's right. That's right. Anything we need to be praying about? I know I talked to Dawn back here. She says, "Hey, listen, would you pray for my dad, Gary Padgett? He's got some real health problems going on, heart issues going on. Anything else we need to be praying for? Anything else we need to be praying for? Yeah. Pray for your family, Kelly. Is that what you said? Yep, yep. Pray for Justin and Kelly Cottingham. Pray for their family. Anything else we need to be praying for? Let's go to the Lord, shall we? Oh, here's one. Okay, I think I saw that on Facebook. The Godfrey family? Okay, Godfrey family, young lady who was in the wreck. Right, right, right. Also, Trent Rhodes lost his dad. Funeral is Tuesday evening in Tipton. We want to remember them in prayer. I tell you what, I'm just glad to see you guys. I really am. And we've got a great turnout today. I got one back here. Yeah, one back here. Yeah. Huh? Oh, the riots, indeed. Yeah, the riots. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll touch upon that in a little bit, but can you believe it? All that stuff going on? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, last Thursday. Okay, lost your aunt and your dad and your mom's husband. All righty. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are truly thankful for the chance to be here today. And God, that is an understatement. We are so glad to be here today. It's so good to see each other's faces. And Father God, I just pray that you would bless us all as we have chosen, Father, to be faithful to you through this whole pandemic. God, we've chosen to be faithful to you through all the problems that we have in our lives. And God, a lot of people have mentioned some issues that are going on health-related. We've had some folks who have passed away. God, we've got some praises. We've had more family time. God, we've had Ray and some other people in our church who have had the coronavirus, and they've gotten through it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun, but they've gotten through it, and we're glad, God, that you have seen them through that. And God, we pray right now for the rest of our family who isn't here, some who are struggling with health issues. They don't feel as though they can get out right now. God, I pray that you'll keep them well. God, I pray that you'll place it upon some of our hearts to reach out to them to see if we can help them out in any way, shape, or form. God, we're so thankful to be with you. And God, we're so thankful to be with each other. And Father, now we pray that you would bless us as we look at your word today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Like I said, I am so glad that you are here today. Our chapel service, we had a good number of people in our chapel service. We probably had 45, 50 people in our chapel, and we had people spaced out all over the place. And it's really a good thing to see everybody there. It's a good thing to see all of you here today. Well, we're in part 5 of our series on the Ten Commandments. And you need to understand that the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, they deal with our relationship with God. Commandment number 1, don't have any other gods before me. Remember that one? Don't have any other gods before me. Simply put, God first. God first. God is saying there, I am your number one priority in this life. I am before your marriage. I am before your family. I'm also before your career. He says, you've got to put me first. Commandment number 2 is this one. Don't make any idols in any form for yourselves. Simply put, God only. God says, I don't want you chasing after any substitutes. God says, I don't want you to choose me plus something else. I don't want you to choose me plus someone else. It's God only. Now, commandment number 3, don't misuse the name of God. Do not misuse the name of God. Simply put, honor God. Honor God. His name is to be held in the highest esteem. And last week we talked about commandment number 4, and that is to keep the Sabbath day holy. Simply put, God holy. God holy. God says there, you've got to step back, you've got to recharge, and you've got to remember the priority of rest, but also the priority of worship, the priorities of rest and worship. And today we begin the last of the 6 commandments, which actually deal with our relationship with one another. And the place where God begins in Exodus chapter 20 through Moses, the place that he begins is the relationship that we have with our parents. Check it out, Exodus chapter 20, beginning right there in verse 12. God says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You see, the 5th commandment is a reminder that if we are going to survive as a society, we've got to respect those people who brought us into this world, namely our parents. You see, the family is the foundation of our entire society. Did you know this? Did you know that 50 years ago, parents believed that their number one job, get this, parents believed 50 years ago that their number one job was to instill moral values into their kids. Today, parents believe that their number one job is to raise their kids to be independent. Now, you might say, well, that's a good thing, right, Lynn? Yeah, that is a good thing. But instilling moral values and raising your kids to be independent, they're two totally different things. You see, what's really sad today is to watch so many kids today who have so little respect for those who are in positions of authority. Teachers, coaches, supervisors on the job. And dare I say, law enforcement. There's a guy in the 19th century, his name was Andrew Ruskin. Andrew Ruskin was an art critic as well as a thinker. And this is what he said. He said, the history of the world is not a record of wars, but a record of our households. Let that sink in. The history of the world is not a record of our wars, a record of our households. I like that. Question to you is this, are we doing the job, moms and dads? Are we doing the jobs? And I mean, why in the world did God put this commandment in the top 10? Why did he do that? I think there are several reasons as to why he did that. Reason number 1 is this, because there are no perfect parents. If you're a perfect parent, raise your hand and raise it high. Yeah, that's right. There aren't any perfect parents out there. In fact, there are no perfect people out there, are there? No perfect people whatsoever, and there are no perfect parents at all. I mean, every single one of us has flaws, right? I found this poem a few weeks ago, and I thought you'd probably enjoy it. Let me read this poem for you. I saw a duck the other day. It had the feet of my Aunt Faye. And then it walked, was heading south, and it waddled like my Uncle Ralph. And when it turned, I must propose, its bill was formed like Aunt Jane's nose. I thought, oh no, it's just my luck. Someday I'll look just like a duck. I sobbed to my mom about my fears, and she said, honey, dry your tears. You look like me, so walk with pride. Those folks, well, those folks are all from your daddy's side. You see, every single family has had those conversations, haven't they? Oh, you look like so-and-so, or you look like so-and-so, or you look like so-and-so. Let me ask you this. Do you look like your parents as a parent? You see, some of our parents were abusive parents. Some of our parents were angry people. Some of our parents were manipulative. Some of our parents were neglectful. And we have had people sitting in our services today who ask the question, Lynn, does this commandment really apply to me? Do I really have to honor my parents? Does that mean I have to ignore everything they put me through? Do I have to put a happy face? Do I have to put a happy face on and act like everything is just fine in my life? To you, I would answer this way. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. You see, God wants us to honor our parents not because of the job that they did, but God wants us to honor our parents because of who they are. You see, what God wants us to honor the position of parenthood. Honor the position of parenthood because they gave you life. Understand, whether you like it or not, they are the ones who brought you into this world. Did you know this? Did you know that there are three sources of authority in our world today? Three sources. Number one, you've got the home. Number two, you've got the church. Number three, you've got the government. Three sources of authority in our world today: home, church, and government. Now, stop and think with me for just a moment about how we've all seen the breakdown of all of these authorities today. How about the home? You see, that's where everything starts. You see, today there's a lack of discipline in the home. And through the years, I've been in and out of a lot of families' homes. And do you know what I notice more and more as the years go on? I notice more and more as the years go on, kids talking back to their parents more often than they did many, many years ago. And I think this is a question that most parents have to answer. I think parents have to answer this question. Are you going to be their parent, or are you going to be their peer? Are you going to be their parent, or are you going to be their friend? Do you want to be liked? Do you want to be loved? Or do you believe that your God-given responsibility is to establish values in the home and boundaries, whether they like you or not? You see, it's really difficult, I mean really difficult, to be liked if you're going to establish authority as a parent. Now, here's a second source of authority, and that is the church. The church is another source of authority. Today in the church, if we're not careful in the church, we will live by our own rules, what we think ought to be done. Oh, I know the Bible says this. Oh, I know we've got elders in the church. Oh, I know we've got pastors in the church. I know we've got all of that, but follow what the Bible says rather than what's really right. Follow what they say rather than what the Bible has to say. You see, if we're not careful, we'll pick and choose how we live our own lives. Or how about the government? You see, oftentimes we take the law into our own hands and we do what we think is right. We see evidence of that all over the United States of America in every single major city today. Last night. Or for the last 3 or 4 days, right? We see people taking the law into their own hands. We see people doing what they think is right. Understand, it's difficult to see the church and the government as authorities if authority is not respected in the home. Now understand, God gave the home. God gave us this commandment because He realized that there are no perfect parents on the face of the earth. Now there's a second reason as to why God gave us this commandment, and that is because respect for authority actually begins in the home. Respect for authority actually begins in the home. Parents establish authority early on in their children's lives. Parents need to establish authority in the home because if they don't, their kids will pay for it later on. In fact, they may pay for it later on as well. You see, if kids won't respect you, what chance does a school teacher have? What chance does a coach have? What chance does an employer have? What chance does a future spouse have? Respect for authority is a critical lesson, I think, for every single child to learn in the home. In fact, look at how important it really was in the Old Testament. Check this Old Testament scripture out in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Beginning there in verse 18, Moses writes this. He says, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey the father and the mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take a hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. Okay, right? It goes on to say, they shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. Okay, he goes on. He will not obey us. And here's where it gets rough. Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will see it and be afraid. Whoa. You talk about harsh. I mean, today people will say, well, rather than stoning him, why don't we just put him in time out, right? Or make him sit in the corner, right? You see, God understood, I think, if you have one rebellious son, it can affect the entire family. It can affect the entire neighborhood. It can affect the entire city. In fact, it can affect the entire nation. Just look at Minneapolis. Just look at New York. Just look at Los Angeles. Just look at Chicago. Just look at other cities all over our nation, right? The lack of respect for authority. It's a problem for the entire nation. You know, we read that scripture and you may be asking the question, well, come on, Lynn, did that really, really happen? And I got to be honest with you. I mean, really honest with you. I've looked for this application of this scripture in the Bible. I don't find it anywhere in the Bible at all other than here. You see, I think God put it there, though. He really put it there to establish authority in the home. Let me share with you a story that James Dobson told many, many years ago. And I think this story that I'm about to relate to you illustrates a principle that we're talking about. It's about a 10-year-old boy whose name is Robert. And little Robert, 10-year-old kid, right, was out of control. When his mom would take him to the dentist, little Robert would grab all of the instruments. Little Robert would grab all the instruments he could grab. He would trash everything that came into that he could get into his little hands. He would be totally disrespectful to the dentist, the hygienist, the chairside assistant, to anybody. He'd destroy everything and anything he'd get his hands on. And the mother would just sit there passively in her chair in that examination room with her arms crossed and just shaking her head in bewilderment. Well, one time the dentist noticed that little Robert had a number of really, really bad cavities. And so the dentist needed to refer little Robert to a specialist who could take care of that kind of problem. But the dentist thought to himself, you know what, who do I refer him to? I mean, this is a problem child. This is a problem patient. Who do I refer him to? And then suddenly he just remembered there's an old dentist on the other side of town who worked on problem children, worked on problem patients. And so he referred this little Robert and his mom to this dentist. Well, the mother took Robert into the dentist and little Robert was ready for battle. The dentist said, "Well, get in the chair, young man." Robert refused. The dentist said, "I told you to get in the chair, young man, and that's what I mean." Little Robert just stared at the dentist in defiance, and then he said, "Well, if you make me get into that chair, I will take all my clothes off." The old dentist said, "Okay, take them off." Well, little Robert removed his shirt. Little Robert removed his shoes. Little Robert removed his socks. And then he stood there barefooted, shirtless, and he stared at the dentist in defiance, and he said, "You know what? I'm not going to get in the chair." He said, "Son, you're going to get in that chair." He said, "You didn't hear what I had to say, did you? If you make me get in that chair, I will take all my clothes off." And the old dentist said, "Okay, take all your clothes off." And that's exactly what little Robert did. He proceeded to take all of his clothes off. He stood there stark naked in front of the dentist and his chairside assistant. He said, "Robert, get in the chair right now." Guess what he did? He got in the chair. He got in the chair right then. Robert sat in the chair quietly through the entire procedure. And when the dentist was done, he told Robert, "You can get out of the chair now." And little Robert got out of the chair. He said, "Give me my clothes, please." Dennis said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You tell your mother that we're going to keep your clothes tonight and she can pick them up in the morning." And so little Robert was escorted out to the lobby, got to the lobby, and can you imagine his mother's disbelief on her face? As little Robert walked into the lobby, stark naked and as pink as the day he was born, she grabbed his hand, they marched right through the office, they went out to the car, and she took him home. The next day, the mom returned to the office to pick up his clothes. And she also had an opportunity to talk to this particular dentist. And this is what she told him. She says, "You don't know how much I appreciate what happened here yesterday. You see, Robert has been blackmailing me every time we're in a public place. If he doesn't get his way, he says he'll take his clothes off. You are the first person to call his bluff. And I want you to know that the change in his life in the past 24 hours has been incredible. Thank you." I would say today that if that dentist or any dentist today were to do something like that guy did, he would probably be hauled off to jail, right? Probably be hauled off to jail. And so why in the world did God put this in the Ten Commandments? I believe God put this in the Ten Commandments because God knew that there aren't any perfect parents. God knew that, you know what? We need help. Authority begins in the home. And here's a third reason. And the third reason is this. God put this commandment in the Ten because how I relate to my parents affects all of my other relationships. Let that sink in. How I relate to my parents affects all of my other relationships. And if you don't believe me, I challenge you to do this. Just sit down with someone and ask them, "Tell me about your dad." Sit down with someone, "Tell me about your mom." Sit down with someone and say, "Tell me about your parents," and sit back and listen to what they have to say. Do they talk positively or do they talk negatively about their parents? You see, that relationship that they have with their parents will determine how they respond to authority. That relationship they have with their parents will actually affect their marriage, their parenting, and their career. Respect for authority, friends, it begins at home. Now, in light of everything that we've talked about so far, how do we live this out every single day? How do we make application to our lives? Where does the rubber meet the road? Well, first of all, as a kid, as a child, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You see, the Bible teaches that as long as you're living in your parents' home, you need to obey them. And this is my opinion. I'm about ready to let you know what my opinion is and what my opinion is only. In fact, I've had this happen in my own life with my kids. If you are dependent on your parents, even as an adult, if you are dependent on your parents, they have the right to set the rules in the home. If you're living with your parents and they are dependent on you, you as a parent have the right to establish the rules in the home. And guess what? If you don't like the rules that they have in the home, you can move out and you can become independent. Independent on your own. You see, if you want to be obedient to God as a follower, you've got to honor your parents. Now, here's something else. As a young person, how do I honor my parents as a young person? By accepting and appreciating them. By accepting and appreciating them. Our parents were raised in a different era, right? Our parents grew up at a different time and a different age. I mean, they did everything differently than what we do today. And in many ways, we raised our families in a different world than our parents did, than our parents raised us. They may not agree with how we raise our kids. I mean, I look at some families today, some young families today, and I see how they're raising their kids. And inside, I'm just shaking my head going, oh my, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. There's going to be problems later on down the road. We've got to respect our parents. We've got to respect our kids and how they raise their families. We've got to try to learn to respect our parents' opinions and their ways of doing things. I mean, why in the world would we want to respect their opinions? Why in the world would we want to respect their ways of doing things? Because guess what? Your parents and my parents gave us something that no one else could give them. Our parents gave us life. Our parents gave us existence. And as hard of a pill as this is to swallow, guess what? The parents you have, God chose them to bring you into this world. That may not sit well with some people, but it's the truth. There was a mom of three, rebellious teenagers. She was asked the question, if you had to do it all, and I do mean rebellious, if you had to do it all over again, would you still have kids? And the mom responded by saying, well, sure, I'd still have kids. I just wouldn't have those kids anymore. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Here's another way that you can honor your parents, and that is listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they have to say. When you're out on your own, do not despise your parents' advice. And I don't know about you parents, I don't know about you grandmas and grandpas, but as a parent, as a grandparent, I love to give my kids advice. I love to give my grandkids advice. That's just what we do. That's built inside of every single one of us. We just need to simply respect our parents, our grandparents enough just to listen to what they have to say. Acceptance also includes forgiveness. Here's a fact of life. We don't want to hear it, but it's just a fact of life. Families hurt each other all the time. Families hurt each other's feelings all the time, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It's just a fact of life. It doesn't make it right, but it's just a fact of life. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. In other words, if you cannot accept and respect your parents, you will stumble through this life groping for answers. If you still hurt, I'll put it that way, if you still hurt because of the stuff from your childhood. In fact, I tell people this all the time. If you still hurt because of the stuff from your childhood with your parents, get help. If you still hurt from the things that your parents said, if you still hurt from the things your parents did, if you still hurt from the things that your parents didn't do, get help. Because if you do not get help, it will destroy you. I know of some people who are senior citizens who are still hurting today from when they were raised as a kid, and their parents are dead now. Get help, or it's going to destroy you. It may seem impossible, but every single one of us needs to get to the point where we do appreciate our parents. You say, well, wait a minute, Lynn, how in the world can I appreciate my parents? You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know what happened in our childhood. You just don't know. And you're right, I don't know. But at least appreciate them for their effort, whether it be good or bad. And in a lot of cases today, it's a bad effort. You see, parenting is tough. My goodness. It's unbelievably tough. And we don't find out how tough parenting really is until we become a parent ourselves. I'm positive my parents would have had a much better life without all four of us kids. Growing up, we have four kids in the family. Two boys, two girls. We go girl, boy. Two boys, two girls in our family. I mean, my mom and dad would have had a much better life, a much easier life without us four kids. And they had to readjust their entire lives. And for those of you who are parents, you had to readjust your entire life to accommodate kids. Yes, you wanted it. Yes, you wanted your kids. However, you had to readjust your entire life, right? You can also appreciate their sacrifice. Parenting is an expensive venture. I read a few weeks ago, it costs parents about, well, over $250,000. It costs parents over $250,000 to raise one kid up to the age of 18. Over $250,000. And for my parents, I was the most costly child. I cost my parents as a toddler thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars only because I was a very, very sick kid. I had a tumor up here. I had to have weekly radium treatments. And from those radium treatments, I had all sorts of health issues added to that. And my mom and dad, their insurance wouldn't pay for it. And they had to pay almost every single week part of a bill that they couldn't afford. I was a costly child. Parenting is costly, and we need to appreciate our parents' sacrifice for us. Respect our parents. Appreciate our parents. And here's a third thing. As an adult, I honor my parents by affirming them and not abandoning them. And how do you do that? Well, one way is to keep in touch with them by phone, by letters, by email, by Facebook. I would say keep in touch with them by a personal visit, but in the middle of this pandemic thing going on, right? It's hard to do that. My dad's sister, my Aunt Betty, she's in a nursing home over in the Quad Cities, over in Iowa, Illinois, the Quad Cities area. And fortunately for she and her kids, she is living on the ground floor of this nursing home. My cousins go see my Aunt Betty quite often every week, and they see her through the window, and they talk with her on the telephone. Personal visits. That's about as personal as it can get. And so if you have the opportunity to visit your parents personally, please do so. I can't tell you how many times in the past couple of years I would love to have had a visit with my dad again. Lost him a couple of years ago. I would love to be able to visit with him one more time. I talk with my mom almost every single week. And here's something else. When you talk with your parents, find out what's going on in their lives. Tell them about what's going on in your life. When I talk with my mom several times a week, we talk about what's going on in the grandkids' lives and little Millie Beth's life, who lives in Seoul, by the way. We talk about what's going on in church. I'll tell mom, well, you know what? We got one of our guys in the band, his name's Ray, and he had coronavirus. Or we got a lady in the church, mom, that Well, during this pandemic thing, she lost part of her foot. She had to have it amputated. We got one guy in our church, Mom, who has massive kidney problems. And you know, when I talk to my mom again, she'll say, well, what about that guy, Ray? Well, what about that lady who had part of her foot taken off? Well, what about the guy with the big kidney problems? What about this? What about that? What about the grandkids? Okay, thank you, honey. I'll see you later. Oh, great, Mom. What about us, you know? What about me and Sandy, right? Talk with your parents. Tell them what's going on in your life. Let them know how you're doing. And here's something else. Talk with them about the good times growing up. Talk with your parents. Talk with your kids about the good times growing up. You see, the way we treat our aging parents, I think, is a direct reflection on our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 directly. And let me say this to parents and grandparents as well who are here. If you want to be honored as a parent, if you want to be honored as a grandparent, be honorable. If you want to be honorable as a parent and as a grandparent, be honorable. You see, respect cannot be demanded. Respect is earned. Let your kids leave the home and don't be a helicopter dad. Let your kids leave the home and don't be a helicopter mom. Let them leave the nest and let them be on their own. Let them build their own family. Now, I'm telling you what, we have talked about a lot of stuff today, haven't we? What's the takeaway? What do we take away today and put in our pocket and go home with? Here it is. What's the one thing you need to do to show honor? What's the one thing you need to do to show honor? Here are some ideas. If your parents are still alive, why don't you write them a letter? Write your parents a letter. I mean, even though you have all the technology you want at your fingertips, why don't you sit down with a pen and paper and write your parents, mom or dad, a letter? In fact, I would venture to say they'll probably appreciate that letter more than they'll appreciate a text message or an email or a Facebook post. Or how about this? How about making a phone call? We've talked about it already, a face-to-face visit. And here's another way that you can actually honor your parents, and that is to transfer their Christian values to your kids. And a lot of you have done that. Transfer your Christian values to their Christian values to their kids. Now, like I've said before, there are going to be people who will say, well, listen, Lynn, how in the world can I honor my parents? How can I honor them when they weren't honorable? I'd say, number one, get some help. Talk to someone. I can help you out with that, and we can walk through that. But number two, here's another way that you can do that, and that is to break the cycle. Some of you were raised in horrendous conditions. I know that. Break the cycle. Live the life that Jesus wants you to live and break the cycle. Raise the family the way that Jesus would want you to raise the family and break the cycle. Don't forget, God said in Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and mother. Why should I do that? So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful. And we are, God. It's an understatement, I know. But we're so thankful to be here today with one another. And God, we've got a lot of people who aren't here today. And God, we pray that you'll continue to keep them safe. God, we pray continually for their health. And God, we pray and look forward to the day when we can all be together without having to worry about this whole mess. And Lord God, I pray now that as we have looked at your word this morning, that God, each of us would be able to honor our parents. Even though some of our parents may not be here today, God, I pray that we can honor their memory at least. And so God, hear our prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today we're talking about parenting, and we're also talking about parents and sacrifice, right? Can we bring that last lighting set back up for me? That'd be great. We're talking about our parents' sacrifice. And in talking about parents and sacrificing, my parents made a lot of sacrifices for me. And I didn't find out until probably late last year, I know where they learned that sacrifice concept. I know they learned that sacrifice concept when they were kids. My parents weren't raised by any stretch of the imagination in a wealthy home. They struggled financially growing up. And I found out from my older sister, the firstborn, I'm secondborn, I found out from my older sister that my mom, growing up as a little girl, whenever they would eat dinner, many, many times, my grandpa and grandma would feed the kids, and grandpa and grandma wouldn't have enough food for everybody, and so they would wait until the kids were done eating, then whatever was left on the table, grandma and grandpa ate then. That's sacrifice. That's where they learned it. And you know what? Jesus Christ knew all about sacrifice. Jesus Christ loved you so very much that he sacrificed his life, his very life, his life's blood for you. We have communion every single week, and when we have communion, we remember what Jesus did. We remember the sacrifice that he made on the cross. How do we remember that? We remember that by taking, and you've got them, we remember that by communion. The little piece of unleavened bread that we have and the little cup of juice that you have, you might get those ready right now. But we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made by communion. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about communion, about remembering what the Lord did for us. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." And here it is. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it." Why? "In remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so why don't you take a brief time of individual prayer? And after you're done praying, take the bread, remember the sacrifice on the cross, drink the juice, remember Jesus' life blood shed to cover over all of your sins. Let's take communion together, shall we?